Are you in orbit yet?
Well, you're about to be. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode number 467 of this here electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. Brought to you by EEJournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Yes, my friends, that wasn't just a clever intro. My guest today is CEO of InOrbit, Florian Pestoni. Florian and I are chatting about robots and AI within the workforce. The details of InOrbit's cloud-based robot management platform and why Florian believes that the next step in digital transformation will be software-defined X. But before we bring in Florian, let's talk about a different kind of robot. A microbot that can help heal your broken bones. Have you ever broken a bone? I'm sure most of us have broken a bone or two in our lives, right? I even broke a bone in my foot playing miniature golf. Yes, I did. I was even in a cast for the first 2 weeks of high school. But I did get 3 free rounds of golf, so... Now, that break wasn't that bad. But if you have a more complex break, those kinds of fractures can be tricky to treat. And sometimes the treatment can include replacing that broken bone with another bone harvested from elsewhere in your body. But maybe we don't have to do that anymore. Let me introduce you to microbots. So a group of researchers from Japan's Okayama University and Linköping University in Sweden have come up with a unique idea. The idea that tiny microbots could be injected into more complex bone fractures. And then those microbots would expand and fill the bone deficits with the help of an application of an electrical current. And then they would harden into bone. Okay, so first the material. These broken bone-fixing microbots are actually made of a thin strip of an algae-derived hydrogel. Now, one side of this hydrogel is covered with an electroactive polymer called PPY, but the other side contains biomolecules known as cell-derived plasma membrane nanofragments. The cool part comes in when an electrical current is applied to this special hydrogel. The PPY actually responds by increasing in volume. But since it's only on one side of the hydrogel, it causes the strip to bend to one side. Now, it is also possible to change this strip into different shapes simply by cutting different patterns into the material. But don't forget about those biomolecules on the other side. Those cells are actually derived from cells involved in bone development. So they will naturally harden and mineralize just like bone when they are placed inside the body. Now, in lab experiments so far, scientists from these two universities have successfully caused these hydrogel strips to wrap themselves around chicken bones in a cell culture medium, which is chemically similar to the human body. And guess what? Those strips actually developed into artificial bone, which fused with the chicken bone. Yeah. So maybe we're a ways off from microbots fixing your broken bones that you may or may not have gotten on, I don't know, hole number 5. But we're not too far off. So if you want to check out even more information about this study, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's fish frying page on eejournal.com, including a link to the associated research paper called Biohybrid Variable Stiffness Soft Actuators That Self-Create Bone. Super cool. All right, it's time to bring in Florian from InOrbit and talk all about the future of robotics and AI and the rise of software-defined X. Hi, Florian. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. It's great to be here.
Okay, so we're talking about the future workforce and the role robots and AI will play in this workforce. But Florian, before we get started, talk to me a little bit about your vision that humans, robots, and AI can work together to overcome our global challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've been hearing about robots for over 100 years, and sometimes they're friends, sometimes they're foes in our imagination. I think what we're seeing is that the real robots are actually a lot more like tools. They're just like really, really smart tools. So what we see is we've gone from, you know, digging with our hands to digging with shovels to having power tools. This is just the next evolution. So we still very much see a role for humans directing the work of robots. We see AI for ordering items via voice with construction, building houses for all of us, or whether it's with food, or even like getting our end of year gifts delivered to all of us. All three, robots, humans, and AI working together, that will really deliver the next level of productivity and sustainability.
That makes sense. Now, Florian, you're the CEO of InOrbit. So for my audience who may not know, what is InOrbit all about?
Yeah, InOrbit is a data platform for robot operations. Let me just break that down a little bit. So robot operations, or RoboOps as we call it, is an area that we've been pioneering that is really how do you get the most out of every robot that's out there? And what we're finding is just like, you know, your car may need maintenance over time and needs a driver. I think in the case of robots, they still need that ongoing supervision, if you will. So we provide that overlay of how to manage a robot fleet and how to solve problems when there's an issue, how to get data to make our robots more efficient over time. And it's all done through data. And so InOrbit, just to be clear, we don't make the robots, we make the robots better.
Excellent. Now, can you tell me a bit about your InOrbit platform? This type of platform works across operations, engineering, and more, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it takes a village to operate a very large fleet of robots. And I use the term fleet, that's the industry term for a bunch of robots. And these could be, if you can picture, let's say, a busy warehouse. And in a warehouse, you may have pallets really that are being offloaded from trucks. They need to be broken down into the individual boxes. They need to be taken to storage. And then when orders come in, you know, you need to assemble the order from all of these products and then have it packed, right? So there are robots that get involved in various aspects of those operations. And I would say historically, a lot of that was manual, but also the volume was not what we're used to right now. So now we all expect next day delivery or maybe same day delivery. We expect all items to be in stock all the time. So all of that is made possible by the use of these smart robots. These robots may look like a forklift, but without a driver, or it may look like a cart that you would use to push around to carry some boxes, except it can push itself. Now, with this, how do you make a busy warehouse? Maybe, you know, there are some warehouses that really have a million square feet. So you're going to have sometimes dozens, sometimes hundreds of robots operating. And to keep that humming requires a team effort. So you may have the floor operators, people that are right there next to the robots doing their job, and may need to, you know, pretty much nudge the robot in the right direction. You need the team of engineers who develop the robots, who may work at a robotic startup or at an established company. You need the operations team that's ultimately responsible for maintaining all of this as an ongoing operation. So really what InOrbit can do is serve those very different needs.
That makes sense. Now, Florian, if my audience is interested in a cloud-based robotic management platform, how would they get started?
Well, I think step number one is go to inorbit.ai. And I think there you will find a number of things. The first thing I'll mention is we offer a free edition of our robot operations platform to enable companies that maybe are just getting started. They're trying to figure out what it will take to go from, let's say, 5 to 50 robots. We really want to enable those companies to get started and not have a lot of friction. Then we also have what we call the developer portal. So if you're an engineer and you're building robots or you're trying to integrate robots into your existing operations, this allows you access to code, to documentation. There's a console. There's really a lot of, you know, what I call engineering goodies that allow you to really make this your own. Because I think while we're a platform, we recognize that every situation is a little different. You're going to want to adjust how it works for you. And that's where all of these developer tools are available to you. And then I think what we find, Amelia, is this typical journey for the adoption of robotics. A lot of times you will start with a very simple use case. Maybe you have one robot that's moving around and you still don't know exactly how to take full advantage of it, but you're trying it out. And then the next step would be to have several of the same robot in the same location. So that makes sense, right? If one helped you, five will help you more. But then to get to the next level, you start to figure out, okay, what else can this robot do? Or do I need a different type of robot, possibly from a different vendor, to help me drive better efficiency in my operations? So for example, you may have one robot that's doing inventory, another robot that's cleaning the floor, and yet another robot that's actually moving packages around the building. Then you go to an even more interesting place, which is you deploy this at multiple locations. So the large parcel companies, they have thousands of warehouses around the world. So to fully take advantage of this new technology, now you need to figure out, how do I deploy robots around the world? And once they're deployed, how do I keep track of them and automate their operations? So really what we see is a lot of companies going through this, you know, maturity journey. And I think it's really exciting as we see companies make that jump.
Interesting. Okay, so Florian, let's talk about the future a bit. You wrote a piece for Forbes where you said that the next step in digital transformation is software-defined X. So can you talk about this a bit more?
Yeah, this is a little bit more geeky. So this is really what our vision of the future is. And I'll start by saying it's attributed to William Gibson. It's not clear if he ever actually said this. But the quote is, the future is already here, it's just unevenly distributed. And I love it because I think I've seen that happen many, many times. So this idea of digital transformation is something that we've been hearing about for about a decade. In some cases, it's real. In other cases, it's hype. But I think there's no doubt that a lot of our work is increasingly digital. Things that used to be done on paper are now done online. Menus at restaurants have QR codes and you look at the menu on your own phone. So you're not touching a sticky menu that somebody left there. It's really great how we're seeing digital really pervade our world. The idea of digital transformation is, how do I drive more efficiency? But until now, it's been mostly limited to more information-based or knowledge-based tasks. Right. So it may be, okay, before, when I might have had to fill out a form on paper, now the form is online and I don't have to do it. But I think what we're now starting to see is this idea of these smart robots that I was talking about that can be software controlled. So in this concept of software-defined X, I'm drawing this analogy with what in the cloud world is known as, you know, you have software-defined storage. You have software-defined networking. You're basically creating an abstraction of the underlying hardware. So for example, if you need to store a petabyte of data, it's not going to all fit in a single hard drive. So you may need 100 hard drives, let's say. But today in the cloud, you don't worry about the hard drives. You just allocate a petabyte of storage, and presto, it's happening. And there's software under the covers that's really, at the end of the day, storing data in hard drives. We get this abstraction into that. So really, I think what we're saying is, now imagine that instead of storage or networking, anything could be software defined. Let's say, you know, you have software defined farming, right? And now what that means is you have robots moving around, collecting data, planting, harvesting, weeding, everything in between. And it's all done through software. And now you have this very granular data feed about the world, right? You may know where each individual plant has been planted, and you may be able to track it throughout its life. And you may be able to figure out what kind of nutrients are most conducive to healthier plants. So that's, again, the power of software-defined X. And so X stands for whatever you want. You may have software-defined construction. So today, for example, in larger construction projects, there's building management software. The old blueprint is now digital. But now imagine if you could have robots taking on some of those tasks, probably not all of those, but increasingly some of these tasks will be handled by robots and they're going to be driven by software. I think it's a really powerful concept. And we're just starting to see the beginnings of this.
That's fantastic. I really like that trajectory. Okay, Florian, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, since you haven't been on my show before, I normally ask the same question to all my speakers, and I have a feeling I know the answer, but I will throw it at you anyway. If you could have one meal right now, Florian, it doesn't matter if you need a passport to get there, it's on the other side of the world, what would you have?
You know what? I really feel this is an easy one for me. I don't have to think too much. So I am this like big pizza geek. I love eating it, of course, but also I like making it. And I like exploring all the variations. You know, I think we may be familiar with, let's say, New York versus Chicago, but around the world, there are so many ideas on this concept of, you know, flatbread with stuff on it. And I love exploring all of that. So I think without a doubt, it would be probably for me, it would be a Neapolitan pizza eaten in Naples, like a classic margarita, which is, you know, the perfection and simplicity of pizza.
I love that. That sounds absolutely delicious. Well, Florian, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Amelia. Thank you so much for having me.
So if you want even more information about In Orbit, I would strongly recommend checking out my fellow EE Journal editor Max Maxfield's feature article entitled, "Want to Rule a Robot Empire? In Orbit Can Help." And you can check out Max's article by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com, or you can also check out the feature article section of eejournal.com as well. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should! You can find us at facebook.com/eejournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on that podcasting platform of your choice. It really does help. Also, if you'd like any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or heck you just want to chat, shoot me a line at Amelia, that's A-M-E-L-I-A, at eejournal.com, or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of February 4th, 2022, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.